All right, let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll get our start there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22 this evening. For the last several weeks, we've been dealing with some principles regarding the perfecting of holiness. And one of the blessings that makes the Bible a timeless book is that God deals in principles. And those principles are universally applicable through many generations and across multiple cultures. They are able to be applied to our lives. And so instead of giving us a thick rule book of do this and don't do that, and certainly the Bible has some thou shalts and some thou shalt nots, but God primarily works in the area of principles in speaking about holiness. And because of that, it requires us to give some thought to our lives and to ask God how these principles apply. And you may be noticing as we're proceeding through, and we're coming to the fourth principle tonight, but as we're proceeding through, these principles make somewhat of a matrix. And as you're making decisions in your life about, well, should I be involved in this activity, or should I invest my time in this pursuit, or should I be involved in this particular opportunity that is placed before me, these principles become something through which we can filter the decisions of life in seeking to live in a holy manner and to please the Lord. And so far in our study, we've talked about the principle of ownership. And you may recall that the principle of ownership reminds us that everything belongs to God. Now, there's nothing that we are or that we have that belongs to ourselves, but it all belongs to God. And therefore, I should be very careful not to violate God's rights of ownership in my life. It's not really up to me to say, well, what am I going to do? It's my body. It's my choice. It's my life. No, if you're a Christian, you belong to God. We talked, second of all, about the principle of priority. And because of the principle of ownership, the principle of priority says that all of the decisions in my life should be based upon the premise that pleasing God is my first priority. I want to make sure that God is pleased with the things that I'm doing. Third of all, we talked about the principle of desire, and this was last week. And that principle reminds us that we should be careful not to participate in those things which stir up sinful desires in ourselves or others, but rather we should choose things that would cause us to desire God more. And you might call this the elimination of that which is just okay for that which is excellent. God wants us to pursue after things that are excellent. And sometimes there are things that are not necessarily wrong. They're not forbidden in the Scripture. However, they stir up wrong desires in our life and lead us in a wrong direction. And because of the principle of desire, we want to be careful to avoid those things. And we gave many applications and talked about how that might play out in our lives. Now, tonight, we want to look at the principle of appearance. The principle of appearance. So we're going to talk about why it is important, why appearances are important. Look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 22. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Abstain from all appearance of evil. The principle of appearance says this: because a wrong appearance can seriously damage my testimony, I should avoid being involved in things that appear questionable or evil. I'm going to say it one more time. Because a wrong appearance can seriously damage my testimony, I should avoid being involved in things that appear questionable or evil. And tonight we're going to talk about appearances. And there's a balance that we need to strike here. And we're going to talk about that first of all, because there really is a controversy over appearances. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've said it yourself, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do what's right, no matter what anybody thinks. You know, that's not necessarily a bad sentiment, but it can be a bad sentiment. We have to be careful with that statement. When we think about appearances, we know that there is a controversy. For instance, it's very, very popular in our world today to say, don't you know that God looks on the heart? God is not concerned about the outward appearance. Okay, hold on a second. Just because God looks at the heart does not mean that God is not concerned about the outward appearance. Now, there is a lesson for us, and we're going to talk about that. And as we think about the controversy over appearances, we should first of all understand God's perspective. What is God's perspective? Well, God is all-knowing. God knows things about you that you have forgotten or that you did not even realize were true about yourself. And that is because God sees the deepest and most intimate part of your life. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intents. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And the reason that He knows you better than you know yourself is because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it often fools you about your true condition. But God is one who looks on the heart. Now, in 1 Samuel 16:7, which many of us are familiar with, that's where God speaks about the difference between His perspective and man's perspective. And there in that verse, God says that God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So God's perspective is He doesn't have to look on the outward appearance because He can see the heart. He sees what's in our heart. And you know, the blessing of this is even sometimes when we get the outside appearance messed up and mixed up, God sees our heart. So when our heart is in the right place, God sees that. The flip side of that is even when the outside looks perfect and our heart is in the wrong place, God sees our heart. God has a superior perspective. And we know from the Scripture that God desires for you and I to focus on the heart and not just on the outward appearance. Because a focus that is only on the outward appearance or exclusively on the outward appearance is going to be driven by the fear of man. So we need to make sure that, first of all, we're concerned about God's opinion. God sees the heart, and God wants us to focus on the heart. If our heart is in the right place, then that's definitely going to have an effect on the outward appearance. And turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. You're close to it there. One of the things that you and I have to be careful of, and it helps us understanding God's perspective, is that we can fall into the trap of doing things to be men pleasers. This comes from a performance-based model of acceptance. And so we begin trying to please other people, and different personality types struggle with this more than others. Some people just, you know, they don't want to create a lot of turmoil or waves, and so they just kind of go along with what other people are doing, and unfortunately, it can be because of the wrong motivation. In Colossians 3, verse 22, there's an admonition here to servants, those who are, we might speak about them as employees. The idea of a servant would be like an indentured servant who owed a debt and sold themselves to a master for a period of time to pay that debt off. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, note that in verse 22, when we have the right focus of God's perspective, we will do things, even things that as mundane as going to work and fulfilling the expectations of our employer, will do that not just so that the boss will be satisfied, not as men pleasers, but we will go the extra mile doing that in order to serve the Lord. Because we know that God is always watching. A men pleaser is someone who does the right thing when they're sure someone is watching. But when nobody's watching, they're a different person. God doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to be consistent. So we need to understand God's perspective. Because when we know God's perspective is always on, God is always looking, God always sees, and He sees our heart, it helps us to not fall into the trap of being men pleasers. Not just doing things so that others will see. You know, being sure to do your devotions. It's kind of ironic, you know. There's a lot of jokes that go around on social media about the proper devotional picture. Should always include, you know, good lighting, good angle on the text that you're reading, your coffee cup, your favorite one, you know, filled with some steaming coffee. Your writing utensil, you should make sure to get a page where you've underlined some things and written some notes so that people can see. If you've ever taken a picture like that, I'm not busting on you, all right? But we do have to be careful that we're not doing our devotions for others to see. There's nothing wrong with taking a picture like that, but we do have to make sure that we're doing things for the right reason. Why? Because our heart can easily be pulled to pleasing men instead of God. So that's God's perspective. But man's perspective is also important. And go back to our text in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. He does say, abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, he can't be talking in verse 22 about God's perspective, because God sees the heart. God is never confused about what is going on in our heart or why we're doing the things that we're doing. So when he speaks about the appearance of evil, he must be speaking about men's perspective. He must be speaking about the fact that sometimes what we do or how we do it can cause confusion in the minds of other people. Why is that? Well, because as a man, I can't see your heart. You can't see my heart. All that we can see of each other is the outward appearance. By the way, praise the Lord. I don't think any of us could handle that power to be able to see people's hearts. It would discourage us, probably. It would be horrible to be able to see that. There's a reason only God can do that. We see the outward appearance. And by the way, before you say, no one should be judging, you make judgments every day of your life. You look at people and you judge them based on their appearance, based on their demeanor, based on their countenance, based on their tone of voice. You make judgments about whether you want to do business with someone, about whether you want to talk to them, about whether you want to switch and go to the other side of the street because you're not sure that this is going to be a good situation. You make judgments all the time. As men, we do look on the outward appearance. Now, we should be careful not to develop a critical spirit towards others, but we do understand that the outward appearance is important to other people. Therefore, we should understand that what is in the heart is eventually going to show up on the outside. For instance, if rebellion is in the heart, it doesn't take long for rebellion to show up on the face. You say, how do you know that? I'm a father. I mean, it doesn't take long for rebellion in the heart to show up on the face. When one of your children doesn't want to do something that you told them to do, I mean, it's instantaneous. Not going to do that. Okay, we have a problem. We need to deal with this. See, the heart affects the outward appearance. There is a correlation, and Jesus actually said that there's a correlation. So you and I, because of this controversy over appearance, and let's just talk for 1 minute about this before we go on, we can fall in a ditch on either side. We can fall in the ditch, and this is the one that's most common today. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm gonna do what the thing is that God wants me to do. Well, just be careful that it is the thing that God wants you to do, and that you're not just saying that because you want to do your own thing and don't want anybody telling you that you should be doing it differently. On the other side, you know, we should be careful not to just be living our life according to the fear of man, saying, well, everybody says I got to do it this way, so I'm going to do it that way. We need to make sure that we are living with a clear conscience toward God. So we need to have balance in this area. We need to make sure that that we have the proper perspective of appearances. Are appearances important? Well, they are because God deals with them in His Word. The second thought about appearances is the concern that we should have about our appearances. And I want to give you some reasons why we should be concerned about our appearance. Did you ever get identified as something that you were not because of how you looked? I hate going into Staples wearing a red polo shirt. And the reason is because everybody stops and asks me where things are in the store, and I don't know where the stuff is myself. I'm trying to find what I'm looking for, but because I'm wearing a red polo shirt in Staples, they just assume you work here. Why? Well, because the workers there have a uniform, and my shirt makes me look like I'm in uniform. So I try to avoid identifying with the employees of Staples when I go into that store. You know, we don't like being identified as something that we are not, but sometimes the reason that we are identified in that way is because we have not paid proper attention to our appearance. Now, sometimes people can just not pay attention. For instance, I remember when our daughter Margaret was a baby. Poor girl didn't have any hair. She's got hair now, we're happy to say. But when she was, you know, approaching one and a half, the hair was slow coming in. And so my wife would do everything that she could, dress the girl in pink, put bows on her hair, put frilly things and make sure that, she's as girly as can be. And people would still walk up and say, is it a boy or a girl? Okay, listen, if we're dressing a boy like this, we have problems, okay? We're trying to communicate something. Sometimes people just aren't getting the message. And I know, boy, that's wildly unpopular in our culture today, isn't it? But that's another thing. So sometimes we can be identified wrongly. It's not our appearance. It's just people's lack of perception. But appearance is important. And here's some things that we need to be concerned about with our appearance. First of all, we should be very careful about having a me-first attitude. A me-first attitude says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't really care what anybody thinks. Now, if people are telling you, you know, what you're doing is making me think that you're involved in this area of sin, then before you say, I'm going to do it because I like it and it's not sin, you should step back for a moment and say, okay, wait a second. Am I selfishly doing something that is harming my testimony? And I should consider what other people are seeing, because appearances do matter. We should also, here's another concern about our appearances, we should desire to honor God. And let me just use for a moment our demeanor, our countenance. Do you know that we represent God? We are His people. And so we should be cautious about our appearances. We should be careful. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. And let's just go ahead and develop that right now. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Do you know tonight that your actions, your demeanor, communicate God's character to people around you who don't know God? You've maybe heard it said this way before. Your life may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. They know you're a Christian. They assume that you represent God because that's what the Bible says. And then they associate your behavior with God. That's not always a good thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Now, an ambassador is one who represents someone else. In the sense of an embassy employee is someone who would represent the United States in another country. And I'm telling you right now, if you work at the embassy in another country, they have a long list of things that they expect out of you, saying you are representing the United States of America and you need to be careful about these things so as to present our country in a proper way. Now, as God's people, we ought to pause for a moment and think about what we're involved in and how we're acting and say, how is this representing God to the people around me? For instance, a person who gets furious and angry and throws things and yells, do you think that's a good representation of God? No, it's not. There's an outward appearance. And angry people will always tell you that they have righteous indignation. They'll always tell you, you know, it's biblical. Well, wait a second. Are you sure about that? Your appearance is affecting how people think about God. It's affecting how people are going to approach God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse number 3. Notice this. Paul is talking about the work of the ministry and he says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." What ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of representing Christ. He says, be careful about being offensive to others. You know, there are things that we could do, ways that we could act, which are not necessarily wrong. They're not necessarily sinful, but they are offensive to other people. And we should be careful about giving an offense with our outward appearance. We should be careful about misrepresenting God to those who are around us. Your actions have a dramatic effect on what other people think about God. Did you ever hear somebody say, "I'll never go back to church again. There's too many hypocrites there." There's a lot of people who say those kind of things. Now, I think their reasoning is flawed, but what they're expressing is this. They have seen some things in some people who called themselves Christians that they did not think were consistent with the character of God, and it had affected their viewpoint of worshiping God. We ought to be very careful about giving an offense in regards to the gospel. Here's another thought, another concern that we should have about appearances. You and I really should value our testimony. We should value our testimony, our reputation. Are you familiar with Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1? It's a very descriptive verse. "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." You know, there's a great word picture that is there. And you know how just a little bit of pollution can cause a tremendous amount of stink. And in your life, you can have a testimony, you can have a reputation of living for the Lord, and then a little bit of indiscretion, hey, you know, just this one time, and it can ruin everything. It can absolutely destroy your testimony. Can put you in a place where now people who once regarded you as someone to be trusted, as someone that they could listen to for counsel, is not going to listen to you anymore. They're going to disregard maybe even the things that you've said in the past. How many Christians have damaged their testimony at work with coworkers because of a little folly, because of a little indiscretion in the outward appearance? You and I really should value our testimony. Before we say, "I don't care what anybody thinks," we should pause for a moment and say, "You know, I do care what people think, because I want their attention to be pointed to Christ. I don't want to be a distraction to the gospel." Now, I realize none of us are perfect, and all of us will make errors, But we can even address those in a way that can safeguard our testimony. We should be very careful about the outward appearance because our testimony is very, very important. Another reason we should be concerned about our appearance is because we should understand that our actions can sometimes lead other people into sin. So sometimes people will observe us doing something, and I spoke about this briefly last week, so I'm not going to dwell on this for a long time. Sometimes people will observe us doing something, and then they will take that action, and they will assume approval of some other thing that's maybe a little further than what we were involved in, and then they will follow on into that. And then we'll find ourselves responsible for having tempted them to go into sin. Something that I've observed through the years, and something, if you're a parent, you should really be aware of this, is that what parents enjoy in moderation, children will often take to excess. Be careful. As a parent, be careful about the choices that you make. And you may have some very clear boundaries that your children don't understand. And then they just assume, well, we can go a little farther with that. And that would be a tragedy. You think about your influence on others. You say, well, I shouldn't always be concerned. You know, I can't be responsible for what other people are doing. I understand what you're saying, but you know, you do have a responsibility in your testimony towards your brother. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We read a verse surrounding this same theme last week, but I want to read it again because I think it's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. But when ye sow sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Why would I willfully wound my brother's conscience? You know, sometimes I've had fellowship with other preachers, and hey, let's go get something to eat. And that brother might say to me, you know, brother, I just want to let you know, I have a conviction that I will not eat in a restaurant where they serve any sort of alcoholic beverage. Now, I don't personally hold that conviction, and there's different reasons for that, and I've thought that through. But it would be very, very offensive and foolish for me to say to that brother, oh, come on, you know, why don't you just, let's just this one time, or come on, or sneak him to a place without him knowing and walk in and here we are. And now he's going to have to make a choice. Why would I do that to my brother? If that wounds his conscience, if that's something that he believes God wants him to do, I'm not going to willfully. You say, what will you do? Well, if there's no restaurants that we could go to, well, let's just get something at the store and then we'll cook something at the house. You know, let's not offend someone's conscience. Let's be careful about our testimony. Sometimes our outward appearance is communicating to others, I can do whatever I want. It's not communicating, I'm in submission to God in my life and I'm trying to honor the Lord with my decisions. That should be what we are communicating. Even if we don't come down and agree on every single aspect of the decisions that we're going to make with our lives, we all ought to be communicating with our lives that we want to honor God first. That we want God to be pleased with our actions. There's not a one of us that should be communicating to anyone around us, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Because that's a rebellious spirit. And people are going to pick up on that. Y'all still with me? Now, let me temper this a little bit. Turn to Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 19. One thing that we should, in this area of concern, one thing you should be aware of is there are always critics. And there are always going to be people who can find something wrong with what you're doing. So we have to temper this and say, I want to please the Lord first. I am going to be concerned about my appearance, but I'm going to make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. You know, about Jesus in Matthew 11:19, they said, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.' But wisdom is justified of her children." What did they say about Jesus? "Oh, he's wicked. He sits and eats with publicans." Well, he's not wicked. He's the sinless, holy Son of God. And he was showing compassion on those sinners. Now, he wasn't tolerating their sin. He was showing compassion to those sinners and pointing them to the truth. And wisdom is justified of all her children. So understand this. Be careful about letting Pharisees and critics determine the outward appearance. There are people who believe they have the spiritual gift of fault finding. And if you try to please them in everything that you do, you are going to be very frustrated. And you say, how do I handle that? The very first thing is to say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" If you are asking God what he wants you to do, and your heart is really submitted to him, he can make it so plain and so clear to you. But we also should have relationships with other people. And I'm talking about within the Lord's church, where a brother or sister could approach us with some measure of concern and say, "You know, I'm concerned about what's going on in your life. I'm concerned about some of the things I'm seeing on your Facebook page. I'm concerned about some of the things that are going on. You know, from the outward appearance, it looks like you're losing interest in the things of the Lord. It looks like you're turning towards a worldly way." We ought to have those kind of open relationships. You say, "Well, they're just being critical." Maybe they're being concerned and they love you and they're concerned about the direction that you're going. So why? Because our appearance does say something to us. Did you ever honk at somebody that was sitting at a traffic light and it turned green and they were looking at their phone and they weren't going and they weren't going and you honked? How do most people respond when you do that? They get mad, don't they? They get mad. And the reason they get mad is because they got caught doing wrong. They got caught looking at their phone when they should have been going, but they don't want to own it for themselves. So now if you get mad in those situations, I'm telling you why you do that. And they don't want to take responsibility for it. So they get mad at the other person and blame it on them, even though they're the one who's in the wrong. Be careful if someone speaks to you about this principle of appearance, that you don't just get mad without really considering it. Now, if you consider it and you bring it before the Lord and you come away from the scriptures and you're convinced, you know what, I'm doing what God wants and I'm pleasing the Lord, that's a different thing. But sometimes our gut reaction to criticism is just to say, "You're wrong. You're stupid. Leave me alone. You're a critic." So be careful about that. But we do need to be careful about just running around trying to please everyone, because if you do that, you'll go crazy. So then let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:22. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And let's talk for just a few minutes about the choice that has to be made about appearances. The word that is used in 1 Thessalonians 5:22 is abstain. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The word abstain means to refrain from. It means that you could do it, but you're not going to do it. It means that you have the right, you have the potential, you certainly could be involved in that, but you are going to willingly withdraw from that activity or that action because you know that it's going to communicate something that is going to give people the wrong idea. There are some things that you and I should abstain from because they will affect how other people look at us. They will affect how other people see our testimony before the Lord. And there are questionable things. And sometimes people, you know, a lot of people like to focus in on the questionable things. But when something is questionable, here's a good way to think about it. If it's questionable, why are you insisting so much on doing it? sometimes things that are questionable, you should just leave to the side and go after something that is excellent. Go after something that is better, that is clearly good. Be careful about questionable things. Walking in gray areas is not a very stable place in the Christian life. You know, we think about the choices that need to be made concerning our appearances. And we're going to turn to a couple of verses, and some of them I'm going to read to you. Turn to Matthew 17 and verse 27. I'll be over there in just a minute. Can you multitask? Can you think and turn at the same time? You're turning to Matthew 17 and verse 27, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. Okay, most of you are there. Listen while I read in Exodus chapter 23, verse number 7, in the law. Keep thee far from a false matter. And the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. What does God say? Stay far away from something that is false. You say, well, I'm not really doing anything wrong. It's borderline, but it's not wrong. Here's God's prescription. Stay far away from it. Keep far away from something that is deceitful or a lie, something that is false. You're in Matthew 17. Look at verse number 27. The context is paying taxes to the Romans, the occupying army. And Jesus said to Peter, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, I know you're saying, if I could pay my taxes that way, I would definitely do it. That would be cool. But what is Jesus saying? Why did he tell Peter to do that? He said, Peter, so that we don't offend them. The reason that Jesus said, and there was a lot of controversy at that time, should we pay taxes to the Romans or not? Are we obligated to pay their taxes? Jesus said, let's not offend them. Let's pay their tax. God's going to provide it. Go ahead and make sure that you are doing things above board. Make sure that you are doing things in such a way that it is really clear that you're doing the right thing. How about Romans chapter 12? And verse number 17. Romans 12 and verse number 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. How do men see? They see the outward appearance. So in our lives, we should be careful to provide things honest. Our life should be lived in a way that the world looking in sees uprightness. I think about a lot of different areas of application. You know, in your business dealings, it ought to be undeniable that you are fair, that you are honest, that you don't take advantage of people. Everyone should know, you know, when you do business with that guy, he's gonna make sure to keep his end of the deal. Now, I realize that there can be disagreements in business. I realize that people can look at things differently. But I also understand that in business, we should do our very best to provide things honest in the sight of all men. We should be careful to pay our bills. We should be careful that on the outward appearance, we are showing people that we are honest, that we are concerned about things that are right. That's because people really are judging you. They're looking at you and you're telling them you're a Christian and they want to see it in your life. Now, they don't want you to judge them, but they're judging you. 2 Corinthians 6:3, which we've already looked at. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 20 and 21 says something very similar, but I want you to turn over there because it's interesting the way that it says it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. So there was a special offering which was being taken, and they were going to be handling this offering and delivering it to the needy saints. And Paul is talking about how they were going to handle this offering. And he says this in verse 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You say, what is interesting about that? Did you ever hear somebody say, you know what? I'm going to stand before the Lord and he's going to judge me, and it's his opinion is the only one that counts. Well, that, you know, that's partially true. But we should also be concerned about providing things honest in the sight of all men. We should be careful in the way that we live our lives so that not only God will be pleased, but also people looking on will see that we are concerned about our testimony and we are true followers of Jesus Christ. So now as we think about the choice in our outward appearance, I want you to think about your life. You know, you make a lot of decisions in your life. Those decisions have an effect on how people view you. Decisions that you make, attitudes that you portray, actions that you are involved in, pursuits that you go after. All of these things have an effect on how people view your Christian walk. And we ought to be concerned about those things. We ought to ask ourselves, okay, what does God think about this? And what is this going to do to my testimony? When we get dressed in the morning, we should think about these things. When we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we should think about these things. When we make decisions about career, we should think about these things. When we're involved in business dealings, we should think about these things. When we're dealing with our neighbors who are maybe a little bit difficult to deal with, we should think about these things. We should be careful with the outward appearance to abstain from all appearance of evil, because we want for God to be pleased with our testimony. So as you think about decisions of holiness and decisions pertaining to your life, one of the things that you can ask yourself is, how does this look? Does this look like I'm pursuing God? Does this look like I'm pleasing the Lord? Does this look like God is my number one priority? How is this going to be seen by others? And what is this going to say about my own testimony? Abstain from all appearance of evil.